Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. September is finally here, and the 23rd will be here in no time. As you all know, September 23rd is Bi Visibility Day, and we have Jen Yockney with us to talk about the history and the plans for this year. Welcome, Jen.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
Hiya. Good to talk to both of you. I'm Jen Yockney, and I'm over in Manchester, England.
From across the pond for us. Yay! Jen, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do.
Well, I've been doing what I used to call activism, and I'm now trying to teach myself to call bisexual volunteering instead, because it sounds a little bit less intimidating for people who might want to get involved, to just call it volunteering rather than activism, which sounds like you must have super special skills. I've been doing stuff for about, it's kind of hard to put an exact date on where you start, but for about 20 years now, a little bit more, probably maybe getting a bit closer to 25, I really did the, I just wrote a letter and didn't do anything more than that, you know, way back then. Almost everything that I've done has been here in Manchester, but some of it has had a slightly bigger reach. I'm editor of Bi Community News magazine, which is the bi-monthly print magazine for bisexuals in the UK. I run Biphoria, which is the UK's longest-running bisexual social and support group. I do a whole load of other stuff. I kind of gets a little bit worrying if I start reeling off the whole CV, but I run the Bisexual History Twitter account, bimedia.org news website, and I'm probably also a little bit, my activist reputation comes perhaps from being the person who initiated the bisexuality report over here as a making that publication happen, and also for Getting Bi, which is a really popular Getting Bi in a Gay Straight World little booklet about bisexual experience for people who are just starting to find their feet as bisexuals and trying to work out what it's all about. But also, and this is kind of why you've got me on in September, I run September23.bi.org, which is a website that tries to keep track of everything that's going on around the world for Bi Visibility Day each year. Until a few years ago, it was just for the UK, and that was a big enough, you know, mission in itself. And a couple of years ago, I had a little rush of blood to the head and went, you know, it'd be really good if instead of it just being Britain, this covered like everything that's happening all around the world so people could steal each other's ideas and inspiration and we could see how it's growing and developing as an event. And I did that, and that means lots more multicoloured flags all over the website telling you which country each article's about. But I like it. I like what it's done as a result. It's given it a much bigger kind of flavour and feel of this is, you know, when it was first created, people who invented it called it International Celebrate Bisexuality Day. And it's easy to get into a kind of little national furrow of what's happening in Britain or what's happening in America or whatever. And instead having something that says there are all these things. And if you've got no idea of what to do in your country, here are things happening around the globe. Maybe you can make something like that. Steal an idea from Washington, from Norwich, from Copenhagen, whatever, and do something where you are. So that's kind of the mission of the website, is to show what's going on there and hopefully inspire some more things for the day.
Well, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll say that last year it was pretty impressive to see all the events that were going on, and even realizing that there were events in Richmond, which years ago we had more of a connection to the Richmond Hamptons Road, Virginia bisexual community, and it was nice to see that they're still out there and doing events, even though we don't see as much of them as we used to.
I know that one only too well. I even have at a much more local level, I have friends who say to me that with Biphoria meeting in Manchester each month as the local bisexual group, they don't go along to the group, but they love the feeling that there's something over there that they can see is still happening in the community, and that, you know, gives them that little reassurance that the space is there if they were to suddenly pop back up. And I suppose there's a little bit of that with Richmond, maybe, of kind of like, there's stuff, I went there, and things happened, and that community is still bubbling and doing things, and every sort of like area where there's bisexual activism and organising and so on goes through sort of ebbs and flows, peaks and troughs of how much stuff is going on, but you just get that little feel of how things are going. And Like I say, both for Richmond and for all sorts of places across the globe. I mean, one of the things I love, I've just had the first listing in this year from Serbia, I think it was. I mean, that's where I start to panic now and go, oh no, let me make sure I've got my countries right. But yeah, from Serbia, about an event that's going on in Belgrade on September the 23rd, which happens to be in the middle of Belgrade Pride, so times perfectly. But it's that thing of, you know, this kind of, for me, because I've been around bisexual activist communities for sort of 20 years, there's always been that feel of there's stuff that happens in the United States, there's stuff that happens in Britain, there's stuff that happens in Canada, in Ireland, in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Australia. But when you start seeing things flourishing outside that sort of expected bubble, it's a really beautiful sign of how the world is changing, not just the countries in which we happen to live. It's like every time there's an extra flag that I need to look up and put onto the website, it's this little glorious kind of, yay!
Yes.
And particularly across Eastern Europe, that I know that Serbia isn't the only place where we're going to get stuff that's bubbling under, and people have been saying, don't put this on the website yet, but we're doing something, kind of things to me. And that, having grown up in the Cold War era in Europe, it's really beautiful just seeing all that kind of, you know, wave of liberation happening across the old sort of communist bloc, where things were even worse for queer people than they were over on our side a lot of the time, I think. So it's a really exciting time. I mean, you never know until September the 24th everything that's going to happen and everything that's going to go on. And frequently, like 3 months after September the 23rd, I will find out about some event somewhere in the world and go, oh, that happened. I'll go and add it retrospectively. But, I mean, like last year we had for the first time a ministerial statement of support from the government in the UK. There was the meeting in the White House in the United States in a way that, you know, and this is the 16th year of Bivisibility Day. And when it started, it was very much sort of the bisexual activist cognoscenti. People who already knew where their bi group was knew about things and could get involved in stuff going on in their area. But it was kind of us talking to ourselves as a community. And it's sort of transformed over the years. In some ways, that's not so good, because there was a great thing about celebrating our own successes amongst ourselves and, you know, congratulating the people who have done the work that for us is an important thing. But it's also turned into an outward-facing thing where, for example, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender groups that maybe have been lesbian and gay in the past and want to put the B and the T in and do something, then have that little panicky moment of, so what do we actually do about the bisexuals? And it's given them a really easy sort of gateway into, okay, here is something that you can get engaged with, here's something that you can highlight to, you know, staff, supporters, friends, allies, whatever. It's almost, I was thinking of it earlier on today and thinking it's kind of like, you know, when you learn to ride a bicycle and you're just putting the little sort of like training wheels on the back so that you don't fall over. And it's almost like for groups that are going from LG to LGBT, Bivisibility Day is almost like providing one of those sets of bisexual training wheels for them, of getting them to be able to engage with their bisexual members or people who they ought to be working with in the bisexual community. So, yeah.
Yay. Yeah. It's a lot of people, they don't know what groups or anything are in their area, and they can look on there and say, look, there's an active group there that's doing something, and it's great. It's fantastic.
It's what I love about, you know, the sheer range of events that we have, you know, that we're highlighting. Some of them are just, like, I've just had one in from London, from the Bi Meetup group there. And it's their regular, every month, get-together in a particular bar. It attracts about 50 or 60 people most months, so it's going to be a pretty, you know, huge thing in its own way. But it's what they ordinarily do, and so people who maybe come and find the website in October, just when they've missed everything happening, nonetheless, that still links into what's happening in the bisexual community in your area.
Right.
That anywhere where there's an event, there's a decent chance that there's also other stuff going on the rest of the year. So.
Yes, thank you. Fantastic. And I just want to say something about getting bi in the gay straight world. That was one of the most helpful pamphlets I read when I first came out. It really validated a lot of things for me, and I just want to give you a lot of kudos for that.
Hey, thank you. I've been feeling a big hug over the internet here.
That's been out a few years now, hasn't it? When did it actually, when was it actually released?
The first edition came out February 2011. We managed to get some grant funding and printed 11,500 print copies and just, you know, kind of gave them away at Pride events and in leaflet racks in bars and anywhere else that people wanted to get their hands on them. again, kind of that thing of, because there was a dearth, certainly in the UK, of something that was accessible rather than academic, but that also looked kind of professional, you know, was colourful, was on glossy paper, that sort of thing. There hadn't been something in quite that sort of shape really before. So there was a huge demand for it. I remember within sort of 2 weeks of launching it, we got orders from youth organisations. There's kind of old people's support organisation in the very north of Scotland. And they were like, hi, can you send us a bunch of copies? And it's one of those things that it's not an area that I would think of going and doing outreach automatically. It's maybe not a demographic that I would immediately think of, because we tend to think of people questioning their sexuality, sorting their head out in their teens, not in their 60s. And yet they knew that they had got a bunch of people who were or might be bisexual in their 60s and 70s using their services in rural areas, for whom having something like that in their hand would be a really, really important, useful thing. And they were just so happy to get their hands on it. And I was just like, oh, wow, this isn't just a resource that's like reaching people in Manchester. This is hitting people all across the UK. So that was fantastic. Then the people at the American Institute of Bisexuality got in touch with us about, oh gosh, I forget, 6 months later or something, and said, hi, would it be okay if we did a translation into Spanish of this and printed some, because it would kind of reach the Hispanic population in the US, I guess. And so it got translated into Spanish, which, again, things that I would just never have imagined happening with a book that you know, yes, when I was putting it together, I was expecting it wouldn't just go within the city limits of Manchester, but to have that kind of reach and to have people getting in touch from, you know, other continents and saying, hi, can we do a reprint of your booklet? Intensely flattering, amazing to sort of like feedback, to feel that it was being seen as that useful a resource and that positive, does kind of reflect how aching the need for it was. But yeah, I think, for me, the thing about getting by in the gay straight world was, I've read lots of good academic kind of stuff about being bisexual, and when I was 16, that would have been exactly what I didn't need. What I needed was something that spoke to me in the kind of language that I would use in accessible terms for an ordinary person. You know, one of the first things we touch on in it is we use the word bisexual all the way through, rather than words like pansexual, omnisexual, whatever, because the B word is the one that people who are looking for this information in a moment of crisis and panic are most likely to use in searching for. It's the best known word that's out there, and it's those people who I wanted it to reach. And both yourself and other people who've got in touch with me about it over the years, it's not like I get a fresh email every day saying, oh my God, this changed my life. But every so often I just get that little thing from people of, I found this and it was the first thing that, you know, sat there and said, it's okay, this is you, you are allowed to own the label. So it's been a really rewarding project, and we've just done a second print run, so there's another 4,500 copies making their way out across the United Kingdom, reaching more people again this year. So it's been a good project.
Thank you. And like, I'm 57, so I definitely know there's a whole bunch of us late bloomers out there that needed it, so...
Yeah, and we have older people in our group too. I'm older, but I've been out for a lot of years. But we have older people that are really just coming out, and it's a reality.
Yeah, and I think for me, this kind of ties in with Bi Community News as well a little bit, as one of my other projects. One of the things about it over here, which I appreciate you wouldn't have had so much in picking it up in the USA, but it's a physical piece of paper. And there's always something to me that a website can be one person who's really, really keen on something, putting together a website and keeping a flame flying, but something where there are, you know, hundreds or thousands of copies of something made and distributed, and you pick something up and it's in your hands and it's tangible and it has all of that ink and paper thing. You might be picking up that I'm a bit of a zine stuff from the way that I say that with so much love. There's something that makes bisexuality and bisexual community much more real by it being a paper thing that you can pick up and hold in your hands and take home and whatever, hide and hope that your roommates don't find it or whatever. But it's, you know, it's a good thing to be able to have, and for people to have a, you know, tangible reality of bisexuality, that it's not just them or them and the two people they've met kind of a feeling. So
yes, exactly.
One thing, could you talk a little bit more about Biphoria and the work it does?
Particularly today, because I'm talking to you two on September the 3rd, and yes, that might be breaking the rules of the podcast and revealing when things are recorded, but yesterday was our monthly main meeting of Biphoria, which is a social and support group for people who are bisexual or think they may be, based in Manchester in Britain. And yesterday, basically, pretty much all we did at the group was to eat cake and discuss what an important access need for bisexual people cake was, because it was our 20th birthday. The first meeting was the 1st of September 1994, which is pretty amazing, because, you know, like, we've had about 240 monthly main meetings in a community centre of social support for bi people from across Manchester and further beyond. Which is a huge amount of time and support, and just, you know, partly the whole bisexuality is just a phase. Well, it's been a 20-year phase for this particular group so far. Is a fun little piece of rebuttal.
Well, we saw all the pictures from Pride in Manchester this year. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, I mean, we, as well as the core group service, that's that community centre meeting every month, we do a whole lot of other things. We have a couple of other meets each month, one in a pub, one in a coffee shop, so people who don't want to go to sort of alcohol-driven spaces have social space as well. But we do other things through the course of the year. One of the things we do is we try to go to lots of Pride festivals kind of near to us, not just in our city, but in sort of the neighbouring towns and cities across the northwest of England. So a couple of weekends ago was Manchester Pride. Manchester Pride is one of the biggest in Britain, and one of the reasons it's so big is that the main festival, in the way that, say, London Pride, there's a big load of stuff going on the Saturday. For Manchester, there's a big load of stuff going on for the Saturday and for the Sunday and for the Monday, including community stalls from groups and organisations. And so we had a stall in the community, what's called the Lifestyle Expo, which makes it sound very glamorous, and it's kind of like a bunch of tables in a car park when you get there. But each year since about 2004, we've been there with tables with information about the group. The last 2 years, we've made a little bit more of the stall. Last year, of course, there was the petition had just been started about the bi ban that Google had on the autocomplete search thing. So we ran a petition on the stall. That made a huge difference. People who normally might feel nervous about coming up to a bisexual stall because maybe it outs themselves to the person they're with who thinks that they're lesbian or gay or that they're straight, and they may be a little bit nervous of coming over or being seen to own the label or whatever. Instead, it gave us a sort of, regardless of your sexual orientation, here is a political thing that is wrong that you could show your support for, and in the process you might then pick up information about the group as well that you might be slowly slipping into your pocket or ticking a box on a sign-up sheet. But that gave a real buzz to the stall, and we got like 300 signatures for that petition that weekend, as well as a whole load of people sign up for information about the group. So this year we wanted to, the Google search ban has, or the way that the Google search thing has changed again, so that's no longer the issue. We wanted something that would engage people, but also because Manchester Pride is at the end of August and Bi Visibility Day is on September the 23rd, it was kind of 4 weeks from now it will be Bi Visibility Day. We'd like to have something that helps to draw attention to that, connects people to that as an upcoming date, so instead of it just being this Pride and then I go back into my pair of bisexual closets, get people's attention about that. So we had a placard, how big was it? It was about 60 centimetres by 20 centimetres kind of a size, because I can tell you what it is in paper sizes, but that means nothing across the Atlantic, I know, with a white clean section and Bi Visibility Day, September23.bi.org written on it, for people to put their own message of bisexual visibility, celebration of bisexuality, whatever it might be, and pose for a photo. And loads of people came, and a lot were persuaded to pose for these photos, so we got a whole slew of photographs, and a lot of people from some of the other stalls came along as well, and took part in that with a message that may be related to the organisation that they were at Pride from as well. So each day since then, we've kind of done sort of one or two photos from the stall onto our Twitter feed at Biforia and our Facebook page, facebook.com/Biforia, in order just to get a kind of sense of the momentum going on there, so that it's not just Pride happened and there's a big bang and here are 40 photographs all in one go, but instead every day there's a, it was Pride, there's this, and remember there's this upcoming event as well, as a kind of like build up to Bi Visibility Day to keep it in people's consciousness in that intervening time. And obviously, particularly with where organisations came along, there's also the thing that then, if you've got a photo of someone from your organisation holding a placard that says something like, you know, Salford University hearts bisexuals or whatever, you're likely to retweet that from your organisation's account. So that will reach a whole load of people who our bisexual various Twitter accounts and so on wouldn't reach with that message and that awareness of Bi Visibility, and will just kind of like trickle out to thousands more people beyond what our natural reach for that would be. So it's going well. We've had, you know, loads and loads of likes, and the photos get shared, and you're sitting there looking at them going, oh my God, 100 people like this photograph. Normally, you know, we get 3 likes on a photo and we're feeling good, and this one has got 82, kind of feeling, which is fantastic. And it's also lovely because you've got so many different people, different, you know, so many different faces with different ways of expressing things, whether they're bi or they're allies, whether it's people who are partners who are together, all kinds of stuff. Locally, because it's Manchester, one of the ones that I liked was that we had someone from the local police force, because when I first moved to Manchester 20 years ago, it was just after we had a guy called James Anderson, who was head of the local police service in Manchester, the chief constable, who was very famous in the British tabloid newspapers in the 80s and was kind of held up as a iconic hero, because his most famous quote was that HIV and AIDS were God's judgment on the gays who were swimming in a cesspool of their own creation. You know, as you can gather, not a very queer-friendly police force as a result at that time, you know, if the guy at the top is sending out signals like that. And so the transformation that we've had, you know, in so many areas in society, but particularly the story of that gets you from HIV is your own fault and you deserve it, to people giving messages of support from that organisation, is just such a beautiful piece of how far we've come and how much the worldview and the values that James Anderson stood for have been, you know, they're still out there, but they've been so massively defeated in society compared to the way that the world was 25 years ago. So that was one of the ones that I enjoyed posting.
It's an excellent idea, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, we did a, I don't know if it got across to England, but we did a hashtag on Twitter, what bi looks like, a few weeks ago. And there were hundreds and hundreds of pictures tweeted.
I saw that, and I have to admit, I didn't take part in it. You know, my hair's been looking awful lately. I can't watch this for a photograph. But
put a picture of your puppy up.
Again, there was just, you know, like I was saying about the pictures of Pride, there were so many different people doing that. And yes, I really am going to get around to posting for one of those what Bi looks like hashtag posts sometime soon, I promise.
Please do. You guys have a Twitter on Twitter showing my age there. You have a Twitter campaign going on too. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah. For Bi Visibility Day, we have a pair of thunderclaps. We started with one. Thunderclap is kind of a mass tweet where, provided you have Twitter accounts, all sign up to take part, then it will automatically send out a message from Twitter, from all your Twitter accounts at the same time. So, you know, instead of just one person going, yay, Bi Visibility Day, there's like a whole slew of people. And last year, about 126 people took part, and it had what they call a social reach, which is if everyone who has a Twitter account was logged in at the same time and read everything that was on their screen, it could have reached about 110,000 people or something like that. This year we've actually gone for having two, because Bi Visibility Day is this worldwide thing. It's, you know, everywhere in the world, it's September the 23rd for 24 hours, but not everyone is awake at the same time. So we have a first hit, which currently has 236 people signed up to take part, and in theory has a social reach of about 380,000 people, which is frightening. Which will also, all of those 236 people at the same time will tweet Happy Bi Visibility Day, Twitter friends, raise the Bi Pride flag and click to learn more, with a link to the September 23rd website. But that's going off in the morning in the UK and in Europe, which is brilliant for us, and will get us, you know, lots of attention, hopefully, on sort of like morning radio programmes and all that sort of stuff over here. But most of the United States and Canada will be blissfully asleep and unaware, because of the time difference across the Atlantic. So there's a second tweet as well, which is timed to go out that little bit later, so it'll be morning in the Americas, but it will also be, you know, it'll still be September the 23rd over here in Britain, so people can join in that one, and it'll just fire off at sort of about half past five in the evening, something like that over here, which, again, you needed 100 people to sign up, and last night we broke through the 100 barrier. We're on 110 people now, with that's got a social reach at the moment of about 128,000 people. So there'll be an extra boost of, you know, the hash by visibility day, hash by pride, hash by day, hashtags shooting out all over the place. If you want to take part in that, then the easy URL for it is september23.bi.org/tweet. And that will take you to the information about how to sign up for those.
All right, fantastic. Well, you guys are pretty busy this year. Do you have lots of help, or do you still need volunteers to help? Or
we always want volunteers, and we also always want to know what people are doing, because, you know, I can sit there and search for Bi Visibility Day and Celebrate Bisexuality like crazy all over Google. The other search engines are also available. But the more that people come straight to that website and tell us, hi, there's this thing that's happening at this time, that's great, and we can put all of that information together. Certainly, I mean, last year, I think the last thing that I added on September the 23rd itself to the website was about 3 p.m. that day, when, you know, yet another thing came in, and it was kind of, oh yeah, we're doing something, it's in 2 hours, can you tell people about it? And it was kind of like, I'm sure that there were probably other things after that, but at that point I had to leave and go and do our own local events in Manchester. So any more emails that came in, it was kind of like, it's tough, I'm off the wire, I'm not on the web anymore for the rest of the day. The website itself is reasonably simple, so it's not kind of like I need loads of volunteers for that, although I would like to develop it over the next year for next year for 2015. So if people have particularly good web skills, then please do drop us a line, and we might be able to take advantage of your skills. But mostly it's let us know about what's going on, and if you're umming and ahhing and thinking, maybe I should do something, then yeah, maybe make this the year that it happens. When people search for what's happening for bisexuals out there, like John was saying earlier about, you know, seeing that things were happening in Richmond, maybe this can be the year that stuff starts to happen, and that'll start the little snowball at the top of the mountain that turns into the great big avalanche of bi-visibility where you live.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you think there is anything else we'd like to cover, or
let's take a look here. I can't think. I mean, sort of, you know,
I love the website. It's got all kinds of interesting things on it. My information, the background, little history, yeah. Connections to...
I'd love, actually, one of the things to throw in there, maybe at an outro bit or whatever, that I didn't think of when you just asked me, is more resources, more links to useful resources, because we have links to things like the bisexuality report and the American counterpart from San Francisco, wasn't it? And, you know, Stonewall reports on bisexuality, the EU Fundamental Rights Agency research. But there's more stuff, and there's more stuff coming out all the time, and I'm sure therefore that there are new things that weren't there 12 months ago that it would be useful to add to that, not least because at the moment it's a bunch of resources that are mostly about Britain and the United States. It would be good to pick up some stuff about life elsewhere. The EU Fundamental Rights Agency research is fantastic stuff across 28 countries in Europe, but there must be other stuff out there. There will be things that are just new, that are just burgeoning, maybe things that are just going to be published on September the 23rd, so you don't want to tell people yet. But I would love there to be more stuff so that when people the rest of the year come to the website and go, okay, so there's this thing and we could do something in September, but right now it's March and what else do I need to know about? What else can I tap into? The more resources that we have that we can link to like that of what's happening for bisexuals all around the globe, the better.
Yes, great. Exactly. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, that's for everybody out there who has lots of resources that they don't see on the British site. So just go and tell them about it.
Yeah,
okay?
There's a little button at the top that says contact, and you just click on that, send us a message that says, hi, I'm in whatever, you know, I'm in Greenland and here's the stuff about bisexuality in Greenland. Fantastic, because there's a good chance that I just haven't come across it, or maybe I came across it and my brain wasn't engaged to think, oh yes, I should go and cross post this onto that website right now.
Mm-hmm. Or ends up in my bookmark file, which is always fun to get through.
We put some resources on our site, but really we're a podcast. A lot of the resources actually tend to be the link sections for the podcast themselves. And just a reminder, all the links are going to be provided on the website, as always. So that's kind of how we do it. But we do have the Frisco Report, the Bi Resource Center, Bi Health Awareness Month. We've got linked to our site and things like that. But it's nice to have only one or two places that you can send everybody in the world to say, hey, this is the best place for resources. It's good that you're collecting them.
I think we covered it. What do you think? Anything else?
I've got nothing more, you know. I think sort of in a way, as we said at the start when I tried to do the modest and calm version of my activist CV, which is always a difficult thing because it's kind of, I've done loads, you know, I've got a Home Office award for community volunteering for the impact I made on the bisexual community. That's completely stupid, the idea that I have an award for bisexual volunteering from the government. But there are all these strange things, because if you do something for 20 years, you end up doing a whole load of strange and peculiar things. I guess at some other time, maybe, you know, talking about some of the other projects might be interesting, but you only want to have so much of the same damn voice from England going on and on all the way through the show.
Yeah. No, we love it. And I think that, you know, all the work you do is important to talk about, not because, you know, you want to talk about yourself, but it's just that showing others what they can do.
It's this, I mean, you know, for me, so much of bisexual volunteering comes from seeing that I have a need for myself and finding that there's nothing there to fill it, you know, kind of like when I was a teenager and worked out that I was bisexual. There wasn't any kind of bisexual support where I grew up. When I moved to the big city, there was stuff for lesbians and gays that in theory said bisexuals are welcome, but in practice, if people were kind of like, ew, bisexuals, you can't trust them, I dated one once, that it wasn't challenged. It was, you know, an accepted part of how people talked about things. And so I wound up doing bisexual volunteering partly to find other bisexuals and partly because there was stuff that I needed. But you then get the idea that you wind up not fulfilling that need for you, but fulfilling it for other people. And hopefully along the way you sort out your own head or you address issues, you know, needs for social circles, whatever. But it's not quite what you started out with as the, I need this thing. But you realise that the only way that any of these things happen is that someone steps up and makes them happen. And if nobody else is stepping up and making it happen, you can, you know, sit there and grumble about it, or you can pull your finger out and try and change the world. And, you know, all of these things do. I think of the way Biphoria, 240 meetings, maybe 4 new people a month, that's 1,000 people that it's directly touched in its 20 years. But then it's also hit all of those people who were partners or who were the next partner 5 years down the line, who went out with someone who was much more sorted out about who they were because they'd gone and talked about their bisexuality 5 years earlier. And all this kind of, and you know, it doesn't change the world in a big inventing a cure for cancer way, but it creates ripples that change individual lives in ripples further and further out of the world. And that's, you know, 100 years after we're born, we're all dust, so that's the most you can do.
Well, this is what it's all about. We really appreciate you very much so.
It's really good talking about it. It's been a lot of fun. I hope that when it all edits down, it makes sense, and that I haven't entirely given you, you know, too many ums and ers to have to sit there editing out with the software.
No, you've done great. Thank you. You're aware of editing then.
Oh, things like the audio-visual version of Getting By in a Gay Straight World, that was quite a good learning experience for discovering how much of my life I spend going
Yeah, we all
Even when
do.
I've got a
we
script in front
it.
Of me and I just find shit, okay. I can't actually read a script that's in front of me, it turns out, but I can sit there and go, when I've got the next word written down.
Well, you're perfect. It's fantastic. We appreciate you being on today.
I would also remind activists to make sure that your events for Celebrate Bisexuality Day, Bi Pride Day, are up on the September 23rd website, and just go and do it. And thanks for coming out.
So everybody remember, you're not wrong, you're not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Stay visible. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I just wanted to let everybody know that Gracie Morgan has a From Bi Visibility to Bi Exclusion, a discussion group, September 25th and 26th, a panel in London in Southwark Council ground floor meeting rooms. And I just thought, I told her I'd give her a promo. She's doing lots of good things. And go check out her Facebook page too, and I'll put links up for that. All right. That's it, John. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.